This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Podcast where we bring you the best of whatever we happen to be excited about right now, be it crafting, cosplay, or computer games. I'm Bria, and this is Emily.
Hello.
Tonight, we'll be taking a look at the upcoming slate of TV shows this fall, recapping some of last season's cliffhangers, and talking about what new shows we're excited to see hit the airways. So sit back and relax, because woe is us. And right at the top, yes, we got tricked into doing a spin-off podcast by Brian and Nancy. Mostly Brian, who we both want to throw things at right now because this mixer and all these magical cords he gave me to make this recording sound better did not work, and he's not around for tech support. So we blame him.
All of this technology and stuff.
Yeah. So we'll now be doing a monthly podcast in which, like we said in the opening, we'll talk about whatever we feel like that month. Because if we're going to do this, we're going to do what we want. So if you have any suggestions or feedback for us or ideas about what we should talk about, because we do take suggestions, I promise, feel free to leave a comment or tweet us. And before we go any further, I guess we should have a word from our sponsors. The Toshi Station Radio Network is supported by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook when they sign up for a free trial by clicking on the link at Toshi-Station.net.
We're also supported by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom merchandise just for her. Click the link on the website to help keep the lights running on our podcast, the Toshi Station podcast, and the blog. Now, each month, we're going to be giving you the best of what we're reading, what we're making, and what we're watching on television. So this month, what we're reading, best of what we've got, here are our recommendations. My recommendation is the physic book of Deliverance Stain by Catherine Howe. My best friend described it as basically what you wanted in a discovery of witches to be, but it wasn't. Storyline basically goes that a graduate student in history goes looking for primary sources in her own family history about the Salem witch trials, it gets more than she bargained for. So it's a little bit of dissertation research and a little bit of witchcraft. It's really well researched, and I'd really like to know how the author managed to write her first novel while also writing her dissertation, because I don't understand how anybody has time for both of those.
That actually sounds really cool. What, I've actually never read A Discovery of Witches, so what was that, I guess, so for reference?
I haven't finished reading it yet. It also has research and witches, but it's not quite, the female character is not quite as fully realized, and it kind of turns into more of a, get the boy story, I think.
Oh, one of those again.
Yeah. Like I said, I haven't finished it yet, so I'm reserving judgment. But my best friend has read both of them, and she likes Physic Book of Deliverance Day much better.
That sounds actually really cool. I might have to add it to my list, my never-ending list. For me, I just finished reading A Leaf the Unseen by G. Will Wilson. It's been described as being a bit Neal Stephenson, a bit Neil Gaiman, a bit Philip Pullman, and add in a dash of The Thousand and One Nights, and it was basically perfect. It's like this modern fairy tale set on the backdrop of the Arab Spring, and it's everything you never knew you wanted in a modern fairy tale until now. It's like everything about it's great. I absolutely recommend it.
When you started describing it, I was like, I've got to add this to my stack of books that I have sitting, you know, here waiting to be read as well. In some ways, it reminds me a little bit of Salman Rushdie. It sounds a little bit like it.
Don't think I'm overly familiar with that, but I trust your judgment.
Oh, don't trust it that
okay.
far.
By the way, full disclosure, I got signed up for a book a month club from Politics and Prose, which is a local bookstore in D.C., and so far they have been amazing at picking out books for me. Like, this is the one I kind of looked at, and I was like, huh, Arab Spring, okay, I'm down, because I did international research, and then I saw the cover where it was like, you know, where it basically named all those authors, and I was like, I'm so down. So if half my recommendations will probably come from them, fair warning, but...
Fair enough.
Yep.
So, as for what we're making right now, because you and I are both very enthusiastic crafters.
Sometimes.
Sometimes we're very despairing crafters.
Yes. With cursing.
Yes. Much cursing. Right now, I'm working on knitting Christmas presents. I know it's September, but I'm just learning how to knit, so I'm starting early. And everybody in my family is getting new pot holders and dishcloths for Christmas because I'm a firm believer that no one can have too many pot holders. And it's giving me lots of practice in figuring out all these different ways and things to knit. So that's what I'm up to right now. What about you?
Nothing.
You're never working on nothing.
No, really. Well, because Dragon Con was just the other week, which didn't actually know I was going to, but hey, I still had two new costumes for it anyways. I might have done a little bit of patch sewing in the hotel room, but that wasn't my fault. But no, I just did that, and then I was, you know, had my usual yearly post-Dragon Con sickness, and then I started a job, so I haven't done anything except make some terrible cosplay plans for the next year, in which you'll probably start hearing me sob about them in January. Loudly sob.
Yes, but that's always so much fun to hear about, because you always have such amazing cosplay plans. And we should note that you got featured on Svudu.com with your Leia's Razor Edge outfit from Dragon Con.
I did. It was very overwhelming. I wasn't expecting it at all until I got the email saying, hey, we'd like to feature you.
Now, I should also point out that was the costume you made in, what, 12 hours?
Yes. Technically, though, I think I only spent about 8 on it because I challenged myself publicly on Twitter because I'm insane and I like to hold myself accountable, apparently. And I like, you know, I have friends who like laughing at my pain. And then I had to go run, like, meet someone for coffee and, like, run errands. So by the time I got back, like, 3 hours had passed and then food happened at some point. So I probably spent about 7 or 8 hours actually constructing it.
See, I have this thing where I'm not very good at constructing things with patterns. I tried making an apron out of a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And did it backwards.
How did you manage that? There's instructions with them.
Yeah.
Did you not follow them?
I thought I was. but apparently, I pinned the pattern pieces on the fabric backwards.
Oh.
And cut the fabric out backwards. So then, instead of having an apron-shaped piece of fabric, I had a piece that had a dip in the middle and very high sides, and I was looking at it going, what have I done wrong?
That is very impressive. I can tell you two stories that'll make you feel a little bit better, though, if you want.
Oh, sure.
Okay, did you see the Psylocke dress I made the other week? Or last month?
If it was on White Heart Room, then yes.
Yes, it was the one black with, like, a purple waistband, and it had the silver X straps on it.
Yes, it did.
Well, I modified a pattern from that. And the pattern got so confusing at various points that I literally sat there for an hour staring at it. And because I modified it to take out, like, so usually it was supposed to be like an X strap and then two normal straps. So It's as confusing as it sounds. And I was sitting there with a highlighter and, like, just staring. I think I stared at it for an hour trying to figure out how the heck, like what straps I actually needed to cut out and then what sewing instructions I needed to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very confusing hour. And then, let's see, crap, I had it.
I was going to say, because that dress turned out beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. You'd just be glad you didn't see the side zipper. That was a mess. Hopefully Chris Anka is not listening to this because then, you know, so he doesn't know. But yeah, and I forgot my other story because I have memory of a goldfish. But what was it? Oh, no, that's what it was. For my Marisa Fell costume that I haven't actually worn at a convention yet, I thought I was being really smart by cutting out multiple pieces of this skirt at once because it's a giant skirt piece and no one wants to sit there for 12 hours. It turns out that there's a reason they laid out the fabric how they did. Mm-hmm. So several panels might be the wrong side of the fabric.
Oh.
It kind of looks intentional.
Kind of.
I alternated them.
Hey! There you go.
This is your lesson in how to be a thrifty cosplayer when you have no money and mess something up. Just make it, try and make it look like you meant to do it that way.
This is why I stick with quilting, because it's all straight lines, and I can't screw that up too badly.
I could possibly find a way to do that.
Well, but it's all straight lines, so you could just rip it back out.
That is a good point.
So.
But anyway, so I'm not really doing anything at the moment except avoiding hanging pictures on my wall. So.
True.
That's me.
Well, so at this point in our podcast from now on, we will usually give you our favorite television or film recommendation of the month, whatever we're watching that we're really excited about. But this is our discussion topic of the month. What should you watch? What should you DVR? And what you should skip altogether? Or basically, what we're really, really excited about for the upcoming season and the stuff we think is worth talking about.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff we think you should just skip altogether, we didn't even bother talking about.
Yeah.
Because that's how we roll.
Like most of reality television.
Yeah, yeah, just assume most of reality television, except for Project Runway. I swear by Project Runway.
Well, I mean, it's got Tim Gunn.
It does. I want him for my gay uncle. He can give me good, excellent fashion advice. It'd be wonderful. But we're digressing, so
yes.
How about we start with Sunday night, which the first show we have on here would be Once Upon a Time. It's on ABC at 8/7 Central. It's in its third season. I don't know, recall if you watch it, but
I do not.
Well, my thoughts on it is that it's been going downhill, as in I've been watching it out of obligation. And personally, I was all prepared to drop it at the end of the season, and then they brought back, like, in the last 10 minutes, they're like, oh, hey, we're going to now tease you with a plot line of Mulan and Aurora and Philip in next season. And they were the best part of this season. So I think I'm going to be obligated to watch. However, the promotional pictures still look very strange. I don't know what's going on there.
All right. Well, I have not watched Once Upon a Time, although I've been told that I should. Another show that I don't watch, but I feel honor-bound to mention, that comes on Sundays, is going to be The Walking Dead. It airs AMC at 9, 8 Central. It comes back October 13th.
I am so excited.
Well, you're going to have to tell me what happens. See, I don't watch it. It's too gory for me. But Robert Kirkman, who is the writer of the original comic,
mm-hmm.
is from my hometown.
Oh,
and
cool.
Was kind enough to actually come in and teach a couple of my comic book writing classes when I was a senior in college. So super nice guy. So I'm always willing to plug The Walking Dead because he's a really nice guy.
It's a good show. I mean, like, season 3 definitely was one of the huge criticisms. There we go. Criticism of season 2 was that it moved too slow, but they absolutely fixed that with season 3 with the whole governor plot line and everything. And it's, from what I hear and from the preview they showed at San Diego Comic-Con, it looks like it's going to be a solidly good season. So I suggest
cool.
tuning in or getting caught up if you can take the gore, or just close your eyes during the gore.
Isn't all of it gore?
No. Actually, I think there's a heck of a lot less gore than you would think.
Okay. It is on AMC and not HBO.
Yes. Well, that's huge. I mean, granted, it's usually at, like, you know, late at night, so they can get away with more stuff than you usually can, than you can on, like, a 7 p.m. show on CBS.
Right.
But it's not, there's, well, you know what I mean. Anyways, but, I mean, it's there's zombie makeup and everything, but it's not terrible.
I may have to wait until after I'm done with my dissertation, because apparently zombie dreams are not unusual during the dissertation writing process.
So, just double zombie dreams.
Yeah. So, I may have to wait.
Probably a good idea.
So, Mondays, we have our only reality television show on the list, and there's one good reason that Dancing with the Stars, ABC 8, 7 Central, is on the list. This is the only reason. And it's, let's face it, sometimes there are people on Dancing with the Stars, and you just go, I'm going to have to watch it because I just have to root for this guy. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Nye the Science Guy will be on Dancing with the Stars this season.
Which is really pretty cool when you think about it.
Yeah.
Although, go ahead.
I'm just kind of hoping that, you know, he's going to bust out some science every now and then.
It seems probable. I feel like I have to actually make a slightly guilty confession to everyone right now, though.
What?
I actually watch Dancing with the Stars on a regular basis.
I don't watch it on a regular basis, but I do watch it fairly often enough. It there has to be somebody on it that I'm rooting for. So, like, I did watch the whole first season, and I ended it because I got mad because Kelly Monaco won, because I didn't like her. But I watched season with Emmett Smith, and I watched season with Jaleel White because I was rooting for them to win. And now I'm going to watch this season for Bill Nye the Science Guy. It always depends on who's on, whether I want them to win.
I just found it super addicting for some reason. I don't know why. I blame my mother. She got me hooked on it. You just, you know, you want to see who wins, and you get very invested in it. You don't want the mean people to win, and then...
That's true.
Oops.
It's really funny because my dad will come in. My dad won't watch it, but then he comes in and he goes, well, who got kicked off? Who won today? I'm like, and we have to get in the recap, so.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next show on the list is Sleepy Hollow, which it's going to be on CBS at 9, 8 Central. And I have to admit, when I first heard about this, I said, are you freaking serious? And then I saw the preview and I was like, huh, this actually looks kind of interesting. So it's going to be, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name, Irving, the guy, the main character of Sleepy Hollow. It like wakes up.
Washington.
Yeah.
Well, Washington Irving.
The guy, some dude.
Ichabod Crane.
That might be it.
Yes,
sounds
Ichabod
vaguely
Crane.
Right. Yes. He wakes up and all of a sudden, like, in modern world, and he's trying to adjust to our life, and it's just, it looks, I would suggest watching the trailer, and, you know, either DVR it or watch it when it comes up online on, like, CBS or something like that. Could be cool.
All right, and on ABC at 10, 9 Central on Mondays, we have Castle starring Lovell Rogue Nathan Fillion. And as of last season, Beckett was trying to decide whether or not she was going to take a federal job in Washington. And the season ended with Castle asking Beckett to marry him. So that's how we're supposed to start the season off. Come Monday the 23rd.
That's a pretty good cliffhanger.
That is a pretty good cliffhanger. Oh. Now, do you watch How I Met Your Mother?
I do. I sort of marathoned the first four or five, however many seasons were going on when I was a freshman in college, and then just kept with it.
Okay. Shane and I have been marathoning How I Met Your Mother on Netflix, and now we're finally the final season, and we've gotten to see the mother.
Finally.
I know.
They remembered what this show was about.
You mean the show's not about Barney and Robin?
Sadly, no, I don't think so. But it should be.
It airs CBS 8, 7 Central on Monday.
Yes.
But speaking of How I Met Your Mother and Kobe Smulders, she's got something going on Tuesdays.
Well,
there
you go. Want to take that?
Yes, yes. There's a little show called Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that will be airing ABC, 8, 7 Central on Tuesdays, and it's going to be fabulous because S.H.I.E.L.D., 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 S.H.I.E.L.D.
And oh my gosh, promos have been adorable.
Yes, I just saw the new one with Coulson and Maria and her drawing a little pile of poop with knives sticking out of it.
And I nearly died. I was laughing so hard. And that is such a Joss Whedon bit of dialogue right there. I loved it.
Yeah, it was good. But from everything I've heard, the premiere or the pilot episode was pretty good. Everyone at Comic-Con seemed to love it. And I mean, honestly, you've got a great writing team on it. I don't see a way that this won't be a good, entertaining show.
ABC is putting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. up against NCIS, which is number one show on television right now, but that may not be the case for much longer. Coach Pablo did not renew her contract over the off season, and so this season, which is season 11, I believe, is beginning with Ziva's farewell. She's been on the show for 8 years, and that's going to be it's been quite upsetting for the NCIS fandom because everybody's been waiting for her to get together with Tony for 8 years. So we left off with Gibbs on a secret mission and the rest of the team resigning. Continuing on with CBS's lineup will be NCIS LA. Sam and Deeks were in the hands of Russian terrorist Sidorov being tortured while the rest of the team tries to find nuclear weapons before they're sold. And there's potential ship development there too. And then finally, CBS is finishing out their Tuesday night lineup with Person of Interest. I'm not sure what's happening there, but it's moving to take advantage of that post-NCIS spot, which could be good. Person of Interest, I don't really know what's going on. I've only caught a couple of episodes. CBS doesn't actually put it up online, so I haven't been able to go back and rewatch any of the shows.
So I don't watch it. Yeah, I don't watch it regularly, but the episodes I have caught have been pretty neat.
Yeah, it stars Jim Caviezel and Teresa B. Henson, and they've both been really awesome in the few episodes I've seen.
Yeah, it's neat. I think it's worth checking out if you're looking for something to watch at 10 p.m. on Tuesdays.
Yes. And if you're looking for something at 9, 8 Central on Tuesdays that's not in CIS Los Angeles, check out the CW for Supernatural. The Metatron has cast all the angels out of heaven, and they've all fallen to Earth. So there's been some previews of Castiel in a laundromat stuffing his suit and his trench coat into washing machine because
Castiel.
And he doesn't really understand how this works. So let's face it, this is going to have the possibility of great amusement, the way Supernatural often does.
It'll be a mess. The poor angels. They don't know what's going on.
No, they really don't.
No.
And I should note that Amanda Tapping has been guest starring as one of the angels.
She has. She was playing a very antagonistic character last season.
Yes.
I think that's about all for Tuesdays, so I guess that we'll slide into Wednesdays, in which you could, if you really wanted to, watch Revolution on NBC at 8, 7 Central, but personally I had high hopes for that show, and then they sort of just fell flat. I stopped watching at some point because I couldn't take any more episodes of people making really stupid decisions, like not shooting down the helicopter. When, you know, just staring at it. Oh, okay, whatever. So instead, this is the only probably pro-DC thing you'll hear us say, go watch Arrow on the CW at the same time. It's been a really good show, and not just because the lead is frequently shirtless.
No, it's got John Barrowman on it.
It does.
And let's face it, John Barrowman is totes adorbs. That's actually my Twitter tag, or my Tumblr tag for anything with John Barrowman, is John Barrowman is totes adorbs.
Although he wasn't exactly adorbs in his role on the show.
No, but let's face it, he's...
He's pretty.
Adorbs anyway.
But no, that left off on a pretty crazy place last season, with people dying, and... It's a very good show, basically, and you should go catch up on it if you haven't seen it, been watching it. I won't say who died, just in case people haven't seen it, but... Anyways.
Okay.
Thursdays?
Thursdays. Once Upon a Time in Wonderland is coming to ABC at 8, 7 Central. So this is a spinoff of Sunday's Once Upon a Time. Don't really know what this is going to entail yet.
I've heard it looks decent. Could be something to DVR, especially if you're already a Once Upon a Time fan, or have any interest in Alice in Wonderland-related things.
Which, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people that I know who are going to be watching Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, even if they don't watch the original Once Upon a Time, because I'm from a university with a very large department in children's literature, and Alice in Wonderland is one of the specialties.
Of course. So. I do have to say, though, in favor of Once Upon a Time, and from what I've seen of Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, the costume department does a very good job. They do make very pretty things. So if nothing else, and you just want to watch pretty things for an hour, you can watch one of those two shows.
Okay. Cool. CBS, 8, 7 Central on Thursdays is The Big Bang Theory. I know this has some... differing views about it in the geek community. Some like it, some don't. I like it because it reminds me of family gatherings. In fact, my family didn't watch it until my grandmother said, "You all have to watch this. It reminds me of you." And then we all started watching it and went, why haven't we been watching this? Because it's us. So I'm looking forward to that coming back.
I was watching it for a little bit, for a couple seasons, and I just sort of fell out of love with it. But I do have to say, at Baltimore Comic Con last weekend, there was a Howard and a Bernadette pair of cosplayers, and they were adorable. You would appreciate them.
Cool.
I'll have to send you a picture. But the next show is my addition to the list, because I love beautiful train wrecks. And if Rain is anything but a beautiful train wreck, I'll be so disappointed. But that is coming to the CW on 98 Central, and it is a story about Mary Queen of Scots when she was growing up as a teenager in France because she was engaged to the Dauphin. So I just invite you and your imagination to imagine a Mary Queen of Scots show as a teenager on the CW. And that is exactly how this show is probably going to go.
Okay, I have to admit, I've just gone to look this up because I almost couldn't believe it when you just told me that. And, okay, so Adelaide Kane is playing Mary. She's been Cora Hale on Teen Wolf, apparently. Yeah.
I don't watch Teen Wolf, so.
I don't either. The kid that played the young Albus Dumbledore in Deathly Hallows Part 1 is playing the Dauphin.
See, like I said, I mean, it's going to be completely historically inaccurate clothing, but I think it's just going to be one of those shows that's sort of like a guilty pleasure, and you just watch it because it's so ridiculous.
It'll probably have really pretty costumes.
Yes, historically inaccurate, but pretty costumes.
True.
Although, this could turn out to be another Vampire Diaries, which I started watching just for the heck of it, and then it turned out to be a very good show. So, I'll give it the slight benefit of the doubt, but aside from that, a beautiful train wreck, which is the complete opposite of the next show on our list, which is Perfection Beyond Perfection, and that show is Elementary, which shows on CBS at 10/9 Central.
And I've only seen a couple episodes, because I've only seen what CBS had on demand online. And I only started watching it because you kept saying, you have to watch this show. This show is perfect in every conceivable way.
Perfect.
You have to watch this show. And I watched, I think I watched like 5 episodes. It was all they had up. And fell in love immediately. Oh my gosh.
It's amazing.
Joan Watson is a perfect being.
She is. Lucy Liu is wonderful. And I was one of those people who, when they first announced the show, was also like, are you kidding me? Sherlock Holmes in New York, who needs another modern day adaptation?
But and it then works.
And I think a huge part of why it works is the cast they have.
I would like to award Elementary I'm going to inaugurate this. This is the Woe Diversity You're Doing It Right Award.
Our first winner is
Elementary.
Hurrah!
Because diversity, they're doing it right.
Yeah. They have John Watson is now an Asian woman, which, let me tell you, as an Asian American woman, is amazing to see. It's amazing to see on TV.
They have a transgender character.
Who is played by, I believe, a transgender actress.
Transgender actress. Which, I think that in itself is extraordinary for a Hollywood production.
Incredibly. And then in the rest of your main cast, so you have Sherlock Holmes, obviously. And then from the rest of the main cast, you have 2 black actors also in the main cast. Mm-hmm. Well, one of them is a guest star role, but he's there quite frequently.
And, of course, we can't forget about the elegantly perfect Natalie Dormer.
Oh, gosh, don't even get me started. I swear when they cast her, I almost cried because I adore Natalie Dormer for so many reasons. And a friend of mine has decided that apparently the casting directors of Elementary just do my bidding. But you've seen the last 2 episodes, right?
Oh, yes.
Spoiler alert. Here's your warning. Other thing that Elementary does correct, like, beautifully, is Natalie Dormer was cast to play Irene Adler, who we thought was dead. Turns out, she wasn't dead, but she had been, quote, taken captive by Moriarty, who's been antagonizing Sherlock Holmes this season. Except, just kidding. Just kidding. She's actually Moriarty.
As if men had a monopoly on murder.
Best line.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Best line ever. Perfect. Still sobbing.
That was great.
Yeah, that's... I enjoy the BBC Sherlock, but let me tell you, on the subject of Irene Adler and just woman, Elementary blows it out of the water.
Elementary and Sherlock, I almost feel like you can't compare the two of them. It's apples and oranges.
Yeah, they have a similar, I feel like they started at the same point A, but they both went in such completely different directions, it's very difficult to say anything. And Elementary is a procedural, so it's, but at the same time, they have had ongoing plot lines throughout. And the best, the best part of the show has been Sherlock and Joan's relationship. It's just...
And I love how their relationship is completely non-sexual.
Yeah, and the writers have said that they're going to keep it that way. And they have no intention of doing otherwise.
And it's not like other shows where it's...
will they or won't not they?
Not will they or won't they. No, it's just... They won't.
Not happening.
You know, there's not even, like, even if you go to, like, AO3, there's not a lot of fic out there about Sherlock and Joan because there's not any unresolved sexual tension. They just won't.
I think that's
really good.
It's very refreshing to see on television because it's very hard to find a male and female friendship where they don't eventually go that route of will they or won't they. So it's nice to see that. But I think we've probably gushed about Elementary a little too long.
Never.
Oops. But That brings us to Fridays, and now I get to gush a little more because tomorrow, or you're probably listening to this today, is the premiere of Season 2 of Legend of Korra. It's 7, 6 Central, Season 2, finally! So excited. Do you watch it? I don't remember.
I do not, but I have never been in the Korra, because Korra is related to the Airbender.
Yes, it's like a sequel series.
Yeah, I've never been into that, despite the best efforts of many of my friends.
You should watch it. I didn't want to, and then someone just forcibly sat me down one day and was like, let's watch a couple episodes of season one, and then I was like, oh my god. It's addicting.
I will add it to the, yet again, already lengthy list of television I have to watch.
Excellent. But no, the season premiere of that is tomorrow, and it looks like it should be a pretty interesting season. But, yeah, that's basically that, is that hopefully I just want to see more Asami, because she's perfect. But the next show on our list is Grimm, which is on NBC at 9, 8 Central. And I am super excited for the show to come back, because that was the most painful, crazy cliffhanger finale. Like, everyone was going crazy. Zombies. It was crazy. You're not allowed to end the season that way. It's really not fair.
The only series allowed to end a cliffhanger zombies is Walking Dead.
And they didn't even end a cliffhanger zombie. Not this season. But no, Grimm did. There was this whole magical thing. But actually, I have to say, I feel like the show doesn't get enough love because it premiered around the same time. It premiered at the same time as Once Upon a Time. And everyone sort of just looked at the fairy tale show, you know, it was like, oh, one or the other. And Grimm just sort of has flown under the radar, and it's actually incredibly enjoyable.
Part of it's because it's Friday night.
Yeah, sadly. I'm really glad it got renewed for a new season for multiple reasons. And also because one of the main characters in it is played by, I'm going to butcher his name, but Sasha Royce, who I adore from when he was on Caprica.
Okay.
Yeah, and then James Frain is on it. He guest stars as a, I believe the term is technically like a demon, one of the royal family of the supernatural world. It's like, and it's just a great show. I really can't say enough fun thing. It's a fun show that doesn't make you stress out too much. They do some weird things on occasion. Like, there was a whole plot line with Juliet losing her memory. But it's a good show, and you should get caught up in the first two seasons if you haven't seen it.
Okay. And also on Fridays is Dracula on NBC at 10, 9 Central. NBC seems to be cashing in on the supernatural on Friday nights. Don't know a whole lot about it, except that it's starring Jonathan Rhys Meyers as Dracula. So if you watch The Tudors...
Yeah. I don't know how to feel about this, because on the one hand, when they announced Hannibal, I was like, are you kidding me? What the heck? But then Hannibal turned out to be really good. So when I saw Dracula, I was like, seriously? But, I mean, I'm willing to give it the benefit of a doubt. It could be interesting.
It does have Jonathan Rhys Meyers.
Yeah.
And he is an excellent actor.
Yes. Yeah. But sometimes even actors cannot always rise above their material.
Truth.
So, granted, I mean, I haven't heard anything really about it. It just seems a little bit... It could go terribly or wonderfully. So.
Well, we also aren't on the actual schedules yet, but things that we want to keep an eye out for. One of them is going to be Almost Human. This will air on Fox and premieres November 4th. It will star Carl Urban as an LAPD cop paired with an android who is, as the show might suggest, almost human, in a show brought to you by the creators of Fringe.
So excited.
So, I know. I love Carl Urban.
Me too.
He's so adorable.
I've loved him so much ever since when I first saw him as Éomer in Lord of the Rings.
Gosh, well, he's been in Éomer and Red and, of course, Star Trek. And he's been in the Bourne movies. He was in one of the Bourne movies.
He's just a really good actor. And he's like a very funny guy when you hear him in interviews.
Yes, and it's really interesting. I love how he can... Sometimes it's hard to believe that he could be Éomer and Dr. McCoy.
Yeah, which is a testament to his acting skills, really. Let's be honest.
Sherlock, which will air on BBC and PBS, still has no set premiere date in the UK, which is keeping PBS from setting a more definite premiere date than early 2014. But let's be honest, most of us will watch it well before it airs on PBS anyway, through somewhat nefarious means, if it manages to come out in Britain before then.
I mean, if you don't, you're sort of screwed on Tumblr. It's the same way I feel about Downton Abbey. I love that show, but I can't wait till it gets on PBS.
Yeah, Downton Abbey also, which will not be airing until January, but...
on PBS. It's starting this fall, though, in
yes,
the UK.
Which, I guess we should have put that on our list, but...
it's unofficially on our list.
It's unofficially on our list. But as far as Sherlock goes, rumors about the premiere date in the UK range from October to January 1st. And there are plenty of other shows that will renew come January, but we will talk about those when the time comes.
Yes. Although, actually, I can't believe I'm forgetting to mention this. As far as other shows to watch out for, and while we're on a British theme, they announced that the Doctor Who special, I believe they said for the 75th or the 50th anniversary, excuse me, will be on November 25th, I think they said. I didn't write this in the show notes because I'm terrible and forgot. But it's going to be sometime in November, and it will be a 75-minute long show. And Emily is checking it now because I failed at research.
Yes, I am. And, of course, it is called The Day of the Doctor. And it will star Matt Smith and David Tennant.
And John Hurt.
And it also will star David Bradley as William Hartnell, who played the first Doctor, which I think will be interesting. And David Bradley, if you don't immediately recognize his name, played Filch in the Harry Potter films.
Oh.
Let's see.
It's the end of, sometime at the end of November, if we can't find it.
Wait. I don't actually see the,
Wait, hold on. Her Universe posted a picture about it the other day. Let me find it. Almost there. Maybe. Where'd it go? Oh, here we go. I was close. November 23rd.
November 23rd. There you go.
I was pretty close. Not bad. So that will be, so you can keep an eye out for that. And then there should be the Christmas special as well, which will air. Yes, you guessed it. Christmas. But back to our official list, I guess.
Oh, and apparently Rose will also appear.
Yes, they did announce that. So. But back to our official list for things that will be coming out early in 2014. I mean, I just wanted to mention these, even though we'll probably do another mid-season show at some point.
Yes.
But NBC and Community will both be on NBC. Sorry, I said NBC and Community. Hannibal and Community will both be on NBC sometime in 2014. Hannibal's getting its season 2, and Dan Harmon is back for Community. So they both should definitely be worth a watch.
And didn't you say that Pretty Little Liars was coming back in January, too?
Yes.
I was...
got a secret.
What?
I'm sorry. No. Well, that's the whole thing. It's like the intro song. It's like, got a secret, can you keep it? Something, this twin too. But two can keep a secret if one of them is dead. It's a whole song. I'm trying really hard not to sing it right now.
Okay.
It's a really addicting show. I can't help it.
I am not even judging.
It's beautiful. Actually, I do have to say, the one wonderful thing about that show is you've got four girls, and it's about, horrible crap happening to them, but it's about four girls and their friendship. And they don't let, like, stupid things like, fighting over boys come in between them. I mean, sometimes they may seriously judge the other person's life choices, like when one of them is dating her teacher. But, you know, they're all there for each other, and it has a really positive portrayal of a lesbian girl, or two, actually. Well, three. Sorry, I had to keep upping that number. And then, you know, you get to see minorities in leading roles, and it's just a very good show about girls, even if it is ridiculous and takes ridiculous plot turns every other day, but that's what makes it wonderful. So, that's my Pretty Little Liars rant.
Sounds good. Well, now will be the time for Ask Us Anything, but this is our first show, so we don't have any questions. But for next month, feel free to, well, ask us anything, and we will answer on the show. But that's it for this month's show. This episode of Women of Odd Enthusiasms has been brought to you in part by Audible.com and Her Universe. If you enjoyed it, let us know by commenting on the blog post or leaving us a rating on the podcast at the iTunes store. You can also contact the host by tweeting us at @ChaosBria and at @CarKickStore, two R's. And, of course, you can always keep up with what we're doing and what's going on in the galaxy far, far away by keeping an eye on Tashi-Station.net. Women of Odd Enthusiasms is part of the Tashi Station Radio Network and is a Majestic Giraffe production. We will see you next month.
Bye.